Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much once again for taking your time out of your busy schedule this evening to join us tonight on At Home with Victoria, a news and information show. Michael Kay, so the heat wave is over. I'm very happy about that. So I decide about, you know, an hour and a half before the show started that I was going to try to clean the algae out of the water fountains out front of the house. So I get in there, I clean the algae, and then, of course, what happened? The water fountain stopped working. So I'm all upset, and I'm trying to find Victor before he goes in to play doctor, which is what he does. He's a doctor, to help me with the water fountains because I can't stand that the water fountains aren't working. But the biggest problem that I had was I didn't even know how I broke the water fountain. So to make a long story short, the doctor came, fixed the water fountain, he's off, and I'm a happy person. So I guess I should just leave stuff alone if it's not broken, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that is saying, that's a harrowing story, Victoria. I mean, crisis averted. Oh my goodness! Yeah, I don't know. This heat wave got to everybody, and you know, it's still quite hot here. It's going to be 90s all week, but at least the humidity is stepping away. So, what did you think about the Sandusky report that was aired today?
Well, and I know a lot of you guys on Facebook have been following this. So, and you know, we had followed it quite a bit also on At Home with Victoria. In fact, Michael and I were very fortunate. One of the students who wrote for one of the newspapers on campus actually was live with us on our show right there on campus to discuss it. I have to say I wasn't surprised at the report. Now, the report was actually done by former FBI Director Louis Freed, and he basically made it clear that there was just, you know, a big failing throughout the entire university. And at many, many levels. So I think pretty much what most of us thought to be the case is there were people who knew what was going on and didn't do anything about it. So it is very, very unfortunate. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens next. But the other thing that's interesting is that the university has raised more money than they have in quite some time. So despite the scandal, it doesn't seem like it's stopping contributions from coming to Penn State.
Yeah, no, I think they still have to protect their investment and everything. And, you know, just with the information, too, that I've been reading over the course of the case and stuff, I think little Miss Wife needs to be pulled in and sat down a little bit because I think she's a lot more information that she's not giving up, which kind of creeps me out. But, yeah, it was a very, you know, it was a very whatever it was today, but... However, we got some great guests, Vic. Tell me about them.
Yes, we do. I'm very, very excited. You guys know how much I love to help nonprofits and also charities. So first up tonight, Sipple Social Life. You guys know I'm a contributor for Sipple Social Life. Eve Etkins is the young lady who runs that out of D.C., but Sipple Social Life. It's basically, Michael, a group of women in cities around the U.S., whether it's Miami, whether it's New York, Philly, but it started in D.C., that are, you know, women who are very interested in helping out their communities. These are women, you know, that have fabulous jobs and that, you know, just do a lot within their communities to help charities. So Sipple Social Life has decided that I think it's once a month they're actually going to hold a really cool event in D.C. at a restaurant. This particular event happens to be at the Saks Restaurant and Lounge. And the charity for that, CAM, is actually one of Sipple Social Life contributors, and it's Girls, Inc. So I didn't know a lot about Girls, Inc., but you know me, I'm always trying to learn something new. So I did find out that Girls, Inc. is a national organization, and they do a lot of stuff to help girls. So Diane, who is head of the D.C. branch of that, is going to join us tonight. So she's going to sort of give us the 411. We're going to talk about the event because it's still not too late, you know, for folks to go. And then our next guest after that is a gentleman who is an indie filmmaker, and he's working on a movie. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then you've got somebody exciting that's coming on to sort of round out and end the show.
Yeah, I've got Bev and Bo from Blair's West out in Asheville, some of the best new country music coming up, and they're going to be joining us, telling us their story. It's a lovely love story, Victoria, where California meets Virginia and they fall in love. And actually, the music is quite stunning, so it's going to be a great show.
Well, and I'm looking forward to listening to the music. I saw the
You'll
music inside the queue, and on purpose I decided that I did not want to listen because I wanted to listen first on the show. But listen, guys, with all that said, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about Simply Socialites right now, and Diane Cashin is in charge of the D.C. Area Girls with Inc. So, Diane, darling, thanks so much for being on the show. Michael and I are happy that you're here.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Victoria. And I have to say I'm just delighted to be here to talk about one of my most favorite topics.
Well, tell us about it. So tell us about the organization and how is it that you got involved in it?
Oh, I'd be honored. So my name is Diane Cashin. I'm the president and CEO of a company called Cashin Consulting and Coaching. But before that, I worked for a lot of large corporations, and we were always trying to do community outreach. And the way I got involved with Girls, Inc. was because when I was very young, I grew up really poor in an underserved community. And it wasn't until I was about 22 years old that I bumped into a really strong, educated power woman. And I thought, wow, what if I had met her when I was 15? You know, who would I be and what decisions would I have made? Because I didn't go to college until much later. And I thought, gosh, if I had met her when I was 15, I know my story would have unfolded very differently. So I became very impassioned about prevention for young girls and empowerment. And Girls, Inc., you know, our mission is it's all about that. It's in Washington, D.C. We have this fabulous center on the campus of Howard University. And there's so many things that we like to do in terms of empowering young girls. So we want to first create a thriving, safe, and really inviting environment for girls. Predominantly, they're in middle school and up through ninth grade. And what's cool about it is for girls to have a spot that's their very own. So they own it. They've got purple walls. There's beautiful motivational messages everywhere. People come and visit and leave them inspiring messages. There's soft carpets and beanbag chairs and places for them just to be girls, to read, to chat, to just be creative. But what's cool about Girls, Inc. is that from the prevention perspective, all of the educational programs that we deliver are research-based out of Girls, Inc. nationally. And it looks specifically at the challenges that young girls face. So we look at things like health and wellness. We look at college and life planning, how to have and define a career. We look for we provide them with educational and financial literacy. And something that's very, I'm very impassioned about, it's getting more young girls excited about careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. So we're all about empowerment through education, and this happens nationally. And right now there's some great camps going on for the summer for the girls, and then each during the school year we have programs that run from 3 to 6:30 every night for them.
Wow.
So let me pause and check in with you guys on that.
Michael, you know, one thing that that I always love as a journalist, and people always ask me, you know, when we get to cover big stories like presidential campaigns and, you know, head of corporations, and, you know, what's always dear to my heart are, you know, stories like Girls, Inc., where, you know, you can kind of really go and see these programs in action where you can really touch and feel the kids. You can sort of talk to them. You know, you can really get that direct feedback and really see the great results, you know, such as programs like Girls, Inc. And, Michael, you know how much I love organizations like that.
No, absolutely. And I'm all for everything empowerment. I don't care who's trying to empower each other, but that's just the story. Diane, how many girls would you actually say take in nationally versus the D.C. area? I know the D.C. area is, are you doing it roughly around 2,000, I think, girls? Is that correct?
You know, I don't have the most recent numbers on that, but I can speak to D.C. specifically in that. You know, the first 5 years, they've touched the lives of about 1,000 girls in the D.C. area.
Fantastic.
And you know, we're really looking at the health and wellness and the violence prevention and the financial literacy. But part of that also is when we look at where are they most underserved. So most of our work has been in Wards 7, 8, and 5. And what we get to witness and the gift we receive, so I'm on the board, right? I'm not there every day. Denise Lombardi is the executive director, and she is an angel just, you know, being in these children's lives every day. But, you know, we're working in Ward 1 right now, and 43% of these children live in poverty. But what's really great about this environment that they have and all this, you know, love and safe environment and this education that they're getting, these girls are doing great things, and many of them go into college. So the statistics are really very encouraging. You know, 80, 90% of these girls, if they come into Girls Inc., go on into college. So it's a wonderful success story.
And those numbers are certainly impressive and good numbers. So with that said, Socialize is actually hosting an event at the Sack Restaurant and Lounge in D.C. at 734 11th Street in Northwest. And it's actually from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I believe it's actually next Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday, Diane? I've got it Thursday.
It's next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's on, next Wednesday. Yeah, next Wednesday. And we're going to put that information also inside the chat room. But I know some of the funds, their funds raised for that will go to the D.C., chapter. And also, as Eve mentioned to me, who is in charge of SIP with Social Watch, you know, it just kind of will give everybody who's there at that event an opportunity to learn about Girls Inc. Diane, I do have a question. There's a young lady who emailed me from D.C. and wants to know, will you guys have any after-school programs coming up when the kids go back to school? She says she's got her daughter in a summer program in D.C., for, you know, to try to help her daughter live a more positive and better life, but she's going to be looking for something when school starts. So with that said, how can people, you know, get that information about your program?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I'm so glad she asked. So we have a website specifically for Girls Incorporated in D.C., and it's www.girlsincdc.org. And if you need to reach anyone by phone, the phone number is 202-806-7938. And during the school year, they're on the campus at Howard University. So what a wonderful partnership that is for them to just kind of love and embrace, you know, girls and give some space at on the campus. But the after-school programs run from 3 to 6:30. Every day, and there is a camp going on right now, so if anyone's looking for any options there, it's Monday through Fridays from 9 to 3. It's running through August the 3rd, and a lot of the things that we're working on is bringing in leaders from, so we're trying to get corporations like Cisco and EMC and Lockheed Martin and all the companies there to bring other strong women leaders so these girls can see this is what awaits them. So, and we're excited that we got a grant from the D.C. Children and Youth Investment and Trust Corporation to create this science, technology, engineering, and math camp this summer. So thanks to everybody who's doing great things for us to empower young girls.
And I do want to mention again, because I was a little hesitant, I apologize about the date, but it's actually Wednesday, July the 18th. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's going to go until 9 o'clock. And we do have that information if you're interested in going on our Facebook page. And also you can Google Simple Socialize. Eve has all the information there, plus our producer, Mar Bennett, is putting that information inside the chat room as well. Michael?
Yeah, I was just wondering, all of these camp programs, are they totally free to the girls, or is that why we're raising money, to make sure that
they
don't have to shut out a dime? Great, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they absolutely are, and, you know, again, most of our girls are underserved, so we do look for the goodness and the kindness of people's hearts, we're about prevention, so we want to keep these girls, you know, on the right track and have a really abundant life and not get, you know, caught up in some of the things that can derail her from all the things that life holds for her. So So
Sandy from Nebraska,
yeah, anyone...
up the chat, actually. I'm sorry to cut you. Just before I forget, Sandy from Nebraska says, how do we help? I take it there's a donations button on your website, so anybody listening can just go ahead and log on and give the gift of cash, which always works in my book.
Yes, absolutely. We have a donate button, and if anybody's local, we love volunteers. We love visitors. If you're involved in a business and you, you know, have any areas where you can bring your people from your company in and you want to do some presentations, we love that. And so, but, you know, because we are research-based education, we do have to fund that because we want to instill in them all the tools they need to be successful. So it's a really great group of girls, and I get more out of it by being around them than I give to them, for sure.
Yeah, Victus is an amazing organization. Good pick.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I just think it's wonderful because Eve and Skip is such a life. Every month, you know, they're going to be having an event. So I just think it's cool, Diane and Michael, because, you know, no matter what charity it is, you know, it just gives you the opportunity to highlight your charity. And, you know, there may be people out there that may already know about the nonprofit and the organization, but then there may be people, you know, for example, like Sandy, who lives in Nebraska, who's one of our faithful listeners and always loves to give and do whatever she can do to help, although she doesn't live in D.C., which I think is wonderful, that she may want to go on the website and actually donate. And, Diane, you had mentioned something about just the generosity of people and organizations that give. And I think in a case like this, you know, a lot of people really don't know how important some of these programs are, especially for kids, you know, who may come from a single household or even if they have two people in their family, somebody lost their job, to be able, you know, to go to a summer program where they're going to be enriched and learn something, you know, it really does help out.
Yeah, and, you know, and if you have a moment to indulge me, I just wanted to share a couple of things of why this work is so important. What we see are many girls in our community that continue to struggle with really difficult circumstances and, unfortunately, unfair treatment. So in our daily girls' circle where they start every day and when girls come in and they talk about, you know, their fears and what's happening in their life, they talk about being subjected to, and you know, and I don't mean to be, you know, bringing the conversation down, but these young girls mm-hmm. are subjected to gang violence, physical abuse, sex trading. You know, they know about how premature pregnancy can limit their options, but they're pressured to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us about, you know, the increase and how dangerous the bullying is incurring in their schools, as well as on the internet. And this year, one of the sixth graders who was new to our program this year, she met somebody on Facebook, and subsequently she agreed to meet him. She skipped school. She met him, and he was older, and he raped her. And through the media, our girls are telling us that they really hear confusing and unhealthy messages about what beauty is. We see the results in the wide health disparities that exist for girls, and many of them are suffering from obesity and eating disorders. And so, you know, every one of our girls describe, you know, this intense stress that they're under. And so it creates this dangerous and chaotic environment that distracts them from focusing on their goals and their vision. And the net effect of this is a lot of our girls, if they're just not tapping into their potential and talent because they're dealing with all of these complexities of life. So, you know, we're here. We know that these girls are resilient, and we're here to give them the right tools, the right opportunity. We really want them to have everything they in their power to make great decisions for themselves and their communities. And, you know, our motto is we're here to create girls that are strong, smart, and bold. And these girls, they do rise up, you know, when they know they have the love and support around them. So
This
is our belief. It's our driving force, and that's what we do. And so thank you for letting me create awareness around some really tough things. But these girls are extraordinary, and they're not letting it slow them down.
Yeah, well, thank you for what you do.
I want to thank you so much for coming on and for talking about it. We're still going to continue to talk about the event on Facebook. But anytime you've got any you know, news of, you know, perhaps we can get you back on the show, Michael, a little bit longer. You can bring some of the success stories of some of the young ladies on to have them to have the opportunity to talk about the program and what it's meant for them. So Michael and I and me will work with you behind the scenes and try to make that happen. But I just want to thank you so much for the work that you do and continue to motivate. And I just love what you guys are doing. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Michael.
Ditto.
Thank you,
thank
Victoria
you so
and Michael. We couldn't do it without great people like you helping us spread the word. And we really appreciate you so much.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, thank you so much. And everyone, that was Diane Cashin, and she's with the local D.C. Georgia chapter of Girls, Inc. We have their Facebook information and also all the information about the event that's taking place with us, Sip with Socialize. And Michael, I'm with you. Any organization that empowers, and especially, you know, girls, you know, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And then people like Diane doing that kind of work of their own free will is fantastic. But may those little girls grow up to be the strong, powerful women that eventually, you know, grow up into the cougars that we're reporting on today. And actually, we're going to segue into that. Scott Carey has a brand new song out called Cougar, and I've got it here. It's a little bit of a leak. So right when we come back, we're going to be talking to Wayne Shipley, indie film artist. But don't go away. This is Scott Carey with Cougar.
Just can't stay. If she's still around when the bar closes down, there'll be one less.
Mary with Cougar.
So I feel like I should put my cowboy hat that I have on in my Facebook page and throw some boots on and start dancing to Cougar. Yeah, that's what I feel
absolutely.
Like what's in my song.
Good tune, good new tune. But tell me about Wayne Shipley.
So,
how did you get to know Wayne?
You know what? What's very cool about Wayne, and I'm sure hoping this is Wayne on this 410, I don't know a lot about him. In fact, Arlette, who's been on At Home with Victoria before, and she is with the Women in Film out of Baltimore, I was supposed to have her on, but, you know, we had the power outage and all this stuff was going on, so she emailed me yesterday. I said, hey, we've got a show on. I know you were supposed to come on. I can give you 10 minutes. And she says, well, I don't really need to come on, but Wayne Shipley needs to come on. He's an indie filmmaker, and he's working on a movie, and I think you would like him. So let's see if this is Wayne. If it's not, then whoever you are, we're just going to interview you. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. Let's take it to the edge.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey. This is
Wayne. Tell us a little bit about yourself and also the movie that you're working on.
Well, my name is Wayne Shipley. I am a 68-year-old retired English teacher who is interested in filmmaking.
Yay.
And, was that a yay for English teachers?
Yeah.
We don't get,
we don't get
many of them. Oh, great. So at any rate, we have one our film production company, which is made up of mostly AARP sorts. We have one film in distribution already, and we are in the process of starting. In fact, we've got a couple of we shot a couple of days so far on a new one.
What's the new one?
Great. What's the new one called? And what's
The working title is Day of the Gun. We shoot westerns in Maryland, and of course that in and of itself is somewhat unusual. Even though I'm an English teacher and taught Shakespeare for years, I see the poetic importance of the old Western films. I grew up with them, and so that's what we do.
Well, Wayne, you're gonna love our next. I'm sorry, you're gonna love our next guest, Blair's West. Some down home Western music, and feel free to maybe put them in your movie. Sorry, Vic, go ahead.
Absolutely.
No, I was going to say, Wayne, first of all, Michael and I, we love teachers. We especially love English teachers. So when you're done with this interview, I hope you will be kind and gentle, and I hope that Michael and I have spoken well, and we have done every single thing properly that we are supposed to do.
Feel free to grade us, Wayne.
Yes.
English teachers get a bad rap for that kind of a thing. The fact is, we subscribe to the doctrine of appropriateness. Whatever's appropriate works, and that's what I subscribe to at any rate.
Absolutely.
Well,
you and the IRS.
I have something to say about that. So, my entire career, I've always been a journalist, and I remember when I used to be on the air in Baltimore. And there was this one lady who would email me religiously, like every single day. And I can't remember what the word is, but it was some word that I guess I didn't pronounce the way people in Baltimore pronounce it. And when you're on TV news, every single town you go to, people don't always pronounce, they have their own phonetic way of saying things. So,
absolutely.
Once you live there, you can kind of pick it up. But when you're new, you just don't know, sort of the ins and the outs. And I always hated it whenever I would go to a new city and I would, I would cringe because I knew like certain words, especially if they were sort of like that Indian related, that I was always going to butcher them. And I never forget, I had this one English teacher at a local high school, and she was so nice to me. She literally called me on the phone, and she said that if I wanted her to, Michael and Wayne, that she to come into the television station and sit down with me so that she could help me go over some of those words. And I never, ever, ever forgot that. I ended up not needing her services, but I thought that was so nice that she offered to do that, right?
Well, I think it was wonderful. And probably the word was Baltimore, because it's amazing how many ways one can pronounce that that city.
Well, that and coffee, isn't that
coffee,
that boss?
Right.
Yeah, coffee
right,
and hot dogs and all that. All that dialect.
What is
the day of the gun coming out, Wayne? Sorry.
We are planning for a summer 2013, basically a year from now. We start principal photography in October of this year. We have shot two major sequences, and Facebook, if you simply go onto the Day of the Gun Facebook page, you'll see several things that that we have done so far. We've, again, shot two major sequences, and we're also putting together a documentary that we're hoping to get into the film festival at Cooperstown for the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Because one of our set pieces is an 1895 baseball game set in Montana. Of course, we shot it in Maryland, but it looks like Montana by the time we're finished with it. And so we're gonna cut that together as kind of a mockumentary of sorts, and we're going to submit it to the film festival. We'll have it out probably the 27th of July. We're very close to finishing up.
I am looking at your Facebook page right now, Day of the Gun, and mm-hmm. it's a very, very cool picture. So I'm going to post this on my page, and also our producer, Marilyn Bennett, will put it inside via chat room. So I'm looking at some of the location scenes. And you're right, by the time you're done with that, it is going to look like the area. I think that you're trying to get.
Right.
But Wayne, listen, I know it was sort of short notice. It's very cool that you're an English teacher. Michael, he sounds like an English teacher, doesn't he?
I just can't wait for the film. I'm a good fan of Western, so I'm looking forward to the
great
film. And I, you know, chutzpah to you and all the AARP people. This is going to be a feature film, not a short, correct?
No, it's a feature film. Our first film was called One-Eyed Horse, and it was released nationwide under the title of Come Hell or High Water. And our new film is, again, Day of the Gun. That's the working title. It may well change by the time we're finished with it. But it will be available in 2013. We're going to do some self-distribution of this one first. This one has a higher budget and higher production values, and we're real pleased with what's happening so far.
Great. Vic, I'll buy
so
the tickets.
Much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll definitely get some tickets and come. Wayne, thank
great
you so much for coming on, and we'll continue to follow you. And good luck and best wishes, my friend.
Great. Thank you very much, and my best to you guys.
Thank you, Del.
Thank you so much. And, again, that was Wayne Shipley. We've got the information called Day of Gun, and it's inside the chat room on Facebook. So go ahead. You can take a look at pictures and all that good stuff on there. I was trying to say he does sound like an English teacher, doesn't he? As soon as he said he was an English teacher, my heart started to skip a beat because they can be really hard on you, but he was nice.
Yeah, you can tell in his diction and everything, but I'm happy he's a big fan of Westerns because you're going to be a big fan of Blair's West. They're up in the chat room right now, and they're actually not in the chat room, they're in the studio right now, and we're going to open with a song. This is Blair's West. We turn up the heat, don't go away. Back with Bo and Beverly for Blair's West. Hold on.
The furnace is out, a cold windy day. Oh, but baby, that's okay. 'Cause you and me under.
Down to the beach, only 'cause we turned down the heat.
heat. Isn't it great, Vic? Bo and Beverly are with
us
right here on the line. Great tunage, my friends. Welcome to it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you guys having us.
Oh, it's going to be such a good time. I couldn't believe it. What did you think of Mr. Wayne Shipley? You know, I'm a little throwing you under the bus there, saying, hey, maybe you can throw them in your movie as a soundtrack and stuff. I mean, I hate to go ahead and milk the situation, but why not?
No, we caught the last part of that. No, no, we didn't completely catch everything, but I was hearing about that. They had that baseball artifact thing from Montana in 1895.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very
cool.
I'm
kind of a, as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more of a history buff.
Yes, you're so old, the two of you.
I'm just trying.
She just tries to stay awake during the documentaries I make her watch.
I actually thoroughly enjoy them.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Bev, you're from Virginia. I'm sorry, I'm taking over the conversation. Bev from Virginia and Bo from California. How did you two meet?
Funny story. I had moved here on a cold January day, and he was the first person I met downtown on Broadway here in Nashville.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so
kind
sweet.
I use my charming musician wit.
Yeah, that.
Vic, that's a very similar story as the way to debate with the doctor.
I'm sorry, what was that?
That's how Vic met her doctor boyfriend.
Oh. The charming wit.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I actually met him because I actually ended up doing a story on him for the local news. So that was how I met the doc.
Oh, Mickey,
gotcha.
This is a pleasure.
That's cool.
Well,
absolutely.
So for us, it was like, what was it, January, I think, when
January
we met.
27th.
Oh, January 27th. Shame on me for not remembering. I was playing an acoustic gig with a buddy of mine down in downtown Nashville, and there was absolutely nobody out. And it was me, my buddy, and the bartender, and in comes Beverly. And it was almost, at that point, it was like the gun was fired and it was a race.
Well, Bobby, the other guy, lied to me, told me he was, like, 25, and he's really, like, 35. They're both trying to win me over. I'm like, what in the world?
I was.
Bev, you're from a musical family as well, correct?
Yes, both my sisters sing. My little sister is actually living in New York right now. She's pursuing Broadway. She's fantastic. Her name is Alia Bisharat. So she's up there doing that. But, yeah, my whole family, they all do music in some sort of another.
Yeah, what about you, Bo?
My dad played quite a bit, but he started off playing drums in a couple of rock bands back in the 60s, and then he was in a bluegrass band for quite a while, playing upright bass, and when his bluegrass band put it up, he just kind of locked it all up for, like, 6-7 years, something like that. And then my mom finally bought him an acoustic guitar and was just like, look, you know, you've loved doing this so much, you should at least just play around the house. So he finally started picking the guitar back up a little bit. And from there, it was just kind of, I don't know, I mean, I always kind of hung around him and listened to it. And story has it, my mom and my grandma will both tell you that I was able to whistle before I could talk. So I guess I just kind of always had it in my blood. But for the most part, my family is not musical, and except for my dad.
Okay. Wow.
So it kind of came from a, I was kind of like the apple that fell from the tree and kept on rolling and rolling and rolling.
One of a kind.
That's right.
Now,
I was the orange on the apple tree.
When you guys decide to write music and think about your music, is that something that you guys do together, or do one of you kind of start writing and you pick it up? How does that process work?
Kind of both, actually. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, Bo, I have this verse, or I have this chorus, and he'll pick up his guitar and literally just start playing, and he'll say, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's perfect. It's exactly what I had in mind. Or other times he'll write a complete song and be like, listen to this tune I wrote. I'm like, oh, my gosh, how did you do that all by yourself? So it's kind of both. Sometimes we sit down and, like, we turn up the heat, that one that you just played, we sat down on a random day that we had off together and just wrote the whole thing top to bottom, sitting there for maybe a couple hours.
That's our big irony song, because I'd come up with the idea in, I think it was in like February or something, and that was the worst winter that we've had here in Nashville since I've been here. So we started writing the song, and we finished the song. It was pretty quick. I mean, it was ultimately we wrote it in about 15 minutes or so, and
just tweaked it over a couple hours.
And then, like 2 weeks later, our furnace actually went out, and it was we were on a, I think it was like a 30-day streak of below freezing weather.
We called our landlord, and he's like, I don't even have my furnace on.
So
I was so mad.
So we ended up with about 2 weeks of waking up in a house that was, it was below 50 degrees in the house.
Freezing cold.
And so we thought that maybe we should write a song about making $1 million and seeing if that would work out in our favor.
Scary.
Very good. You guys got married in 2009?
Yes,
yeah.
And was it a big wedding? Because, you know, the thing I love about you guys is not only your sound, but, I try to lift your pictures for the scroll. And actually, if you go into the scroll, you'll find your album cover. And I have to tell you, I love the kitschy. It's so kitschy down home that it works to be almost high fashion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
at that point.
Totally.
So is that a blend of the two of your styles? I mean, who collaborated on the photography on that?
Well, actually, our photographer is a girl named Jessie Holloway, and she's fantastic. She's actually mostly a wedding photographer, but she does everything. And mm-hmm. she did our pictures last year. I think it was like for some anniversary shoot or something that we did. I'm not sure. And we were like, we have to use her again. And she had used us for models, so we hired her for this last shoot, and we love her. We're like, we're going to get you into doing other things other than wedding. I hope you don't mind. She's awesome.
Like multi-million-dollar album covers.
Yeah,
right.
Anything.
That's what we're hoping for.
Absolutely. I think we should go ahead and play some more of music. Vic, what do you think?
Sounds good. Yeah, let's do it.
This is Blair's West with Lifelong Love. Don't go away.
The lifelong love.
guys with Lifelong Love. Vic?
Yeah, that's an absolute beautiful song. Hey, guys, I wanted to ask you, I've had the opportunity to talk to many artists, and they always talk about the sort of audience reaction and feeding off the audiences when they're playing live. What is it like for you guys when you're out there playing live? I mean, talk about the audience and the feedback that you get from them about your music.
So far, we've actually had really good response. We don't have our product out quite yet. We actually have our CDs in for our promo EP is in for pressing right now. It should be done probably next week. But people are constantly asking us if we have any CDs that they could buy. If we have return audience people, they always are remembering our songs and they ask for specific ones. Yeah, We Turn Up the Heat seems to be a big favorite. People are always looking for that. We have another song that's going to be that we're going to be tracking next month called Guilty that people ask for quite a bit. So I think overall we're getting a pretty good response. And
we seem to have a good response from other couples too, like younger mm-hmm. couples around our age we get a huge response from and end up probably becoming friends with most of them, which is fun. Gaining friends, not fame.
Mike.
The same thing.
Michael?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
my wife being as beautiful as she is, we don't seem to steer off the college boys.
Well, for either one of you. I mean, that's just the kicker in Nashville. But I will say, I like to ask this question of every musician that we have on here. But who are you guys listening to now? Who do you really find is
today
worthwhile?
Or you mean today or yesterday?
Today.
I have a tendency to get obsessed with an album and just listen to it over and over and over again until I know every word. And right now I love the band Perry. I love them a lot. We're huge fans of the Beatles. Bo and I are both huge fans of the Beatles. We listened to them growing up, so it's a common one for the both of us.
And then, surprisingly, the guilty pleasure of Taylor Swift.
We
are both Taylor Swift fans just because she's a true artist, and I admire her songwriting and her production and everything. I think is all fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
The girl just keeps winning award after award after award. My goodness,
I know.
And I get it. I can see it. It's pretty enough to look at and stuff. What do you think about Carrie Underwood's new undertaking?
Very pop.
Very pop.
Very
un-country. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this one song. My sister listens to her a lot, so I hear it. But there's this one song called Blown Away that Bo and I really liked. I thought it was a really cool song. It's very synthesized and very pop, but I think that it could have been like a Martina McBride type song. It's just they went pop with it. Like it's one of those country songs. It's a cool tune, though.
With Carrie Underwood, I see a lot of the Shania Twain kind of repeating history thing kind of going on, which is good. Yeah. You know, country music in all of its history has always been kind of very expanding and very forgiving and accepting in all genres.
Which is why it's so great.
I think Vic will agree with this, too, when I mentioned that when I saw Carrie Underwood's cover, I thought, wow, that is the machine working at its finest, because that was little old Carrie Underwood from season 5 of, or season 6, whatever.
Yeah, I know,
Idol.
Right?
Yeah.
Because all you want to see is your legs.
And you know, Michael, too, it was interesting that you make that point, because when you mentioned that, I remember on Facebook there was quite a few reactions to that some people were sort of like, and not even on Facebook, I mean, I've listened to a lot of interviews where people talk about Carrie Underwood, and some people say, you know what, you know, and also Taylor Swift, that Taylor Swift is very good at writing music, but I've heard her be criticized tremendously about that she's not that great live as opposed to Carrie Underwood. But either way, however you feel about either one of them, that machine that you talked about, that is very, very powerful. And it seems like, you know, in music today, especially in America, I can certainly, reach as far as to talk about overseas, that, you know, you really do need a machine behind you if you're going to be successful. I mean, I've met, and Michael, you know this too, we've had so many, you know, wonderful artists on At Home with Victoria, who I think can out-top any of these top artists out there today, but
absolutely,
not everybody knows about them because they don't have that machine behind them. So what do you guys think about that?
I think think, honestly, I think they both bring something major to the table. Carrie's vocals are insane, and Taylor Swift's writing is through the roof. Like, they're both insanely talented, if equally talented, just in different things. I think it's, you just got to know what you bring to the table and what you do best and try, you know what I mean? And I think it's good with Bo and I, because we become this team of, like, writing and singing, and I just think we work so well together. Honestly, writing with other people other than him is, like, not as fun for me.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the machine is necessary to gain international success, the likes of, you know, Underwood and Swift? Do you think it's at all that important, or do you think we're going to end up seeing a lot of the indie artists just through social media go ahead and climb to those heights?
Well, that's a tough question, because the music industry has morphed so much, especially lately with all the social media and everything. With the way music is distributed nowadays, you know, through iTunes and, you know, with Spotify and Pandora and all these different things, it almost seems as though we're reverting back to a very traditional and old school style of promoting music, meaning, you know, you look back at, like, Hank Williams Sr., who got in an old station wagon and went from town to town just playing and playing and playing and promoting his music. And, you know, there was no internet at the time, obviously, so it was just a matter of going out and promoting yourself. Well, nowadays it's a very much the same thing. There's so much internet radio, there's satellite radio, which is not quite as, you know, controlled by the whole machine. There's so much of that going on to where you can self-promote to an extent, and all it takes is money. That's the only thing that I'm going to say, is money is the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Vic?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know that first time me hearing your music tonight, I think it's wonderful. I mean, it's really catchy, and, you know, it has a good beat, and for me, beat is everything, so it's something that I can kind of sit down and tap my toe to and snap my fingers. I just think it's wonderful, and I'm sure from here on out, now that we have you, your music in our queue, we'll certainly be playing your music on At Home with Victoria.
You.
So much success to both of you guys. Much success to you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
So where can we actually find you? We can find you on Facebook. We can find you also on YouTube. You can get some of their videos. Guilty's actually on YouTube. You can go ahead and find. But what's your Facebook tag? Because and you answer your Facebook. You're not one of those fancy people that just ignore all those minions that are stalking your page. So
no, the more the merrier.
Absolutely. What's your address on Facebook?
Facebook.com/BlairsWest.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also reach us, you can find us at BlairsWest.com or ReverbNation.com/BlairsWest. And the first three songs that we have for our for the EP, you can stream those on there. And after we get the whole thing done, we're going to release it, the whole thing, to iTunes. So that should be probably towards
beginning
the end of September.
Yeah.
Somewhere in September. Not exactly sure quite yet.
Vic and I wish you the very, very best, and we know we're going to be hearing from you time and time again. So you guys, again, thanks for taking the time out to come on the show tonight, and we'll definitely
Thank
be in touch, and we'll be sharing stuff. Absolutely, buddies. You take
Thank
care.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Vic.
Thank you, guys.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You
guys have a great night. Thank you for coming on.
That was Bo and Beverly. Bo and Beverly from Blair's West. Vic, they're such a lovely couple, down to earth again. And you know what? I love the fact again that we always have people with stuff to promote before it's even out. So I think we're more cutting edge than we give us credit for.
Oh well, I totally agree with you 100%. And I do. I love their music. I especially like the last song that we listened to. And I think it's so cute because you can also tell, as we were doing the interview, that the two of them are just so in love and so giddy over each other. And I just think that's wonderful, right?
Yeah, I got that too. And actually, I want to make mention that Wayne is still listening, so I hope Wayne got some a good earful of some good Western music. But I want to go ahead and chat. Absolutely. Yeah, he's still in there. So I want to give all the guests in chat, guests 5290, Marby for a great production, Michael, my brother from another mother, and Shannon Sibbald, Gina and Sandy. Gina had some really good news today, or it was Sandy that had good news today. Did you happen to catch it in chat? I was focusing on...
Yes.
What was the good news?
Yes, I did. The good news is that Sandy has decided that she's going to start her own business, and she said she's got a website coming soon. So whatever the business is, Sandy, if you're still listening, I don't know if you've gone to bed because she works at night, that, you know, we're always here to help you out at Home with Victoria. So I'm excited for her, you know, for actually doing that. And earlier I was trying to tell you guys the information of Wayne Shipley, who was on at Home with Victoria. He talked about the Western that he's doing. Marvin has helped with his information inside the Facebook, inside the chat room. I added him as a friend, so hopefully if he accepts me as his friend, you'll find some more information on my Facebook page about that they're doing. What's interesting about the show is that every single thing, Michael, really seemed to tie, and there was just this great connection from the beginning when we talked about, Girls Incorporated to the Western and to Blair's West, right?
Blair's West, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, three fantastic. It was Diane, what was her last name again? Council, Crusoe?
Cashin,
yeah, Diane. Yeah, she's a fantastic person. But I'm really glad you enjoyed Blair's West, Vic. I know it's always...
I did.
Yeah, they're good people. So I've got one more song to play with them, play for them on the way out. But I want to thank everybody for listening. And Vic, I hope you've solved your fountain crisis.
Yes, I peeked out the window before the show started, and the fountain crisis is done. So yeah, that was something that kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop. You know, I tried to do something good, and it kind of turned bad. So yeah, that's a verdict. But listen, we're back on the air again next week. We've got a show. We're doing fitness and health. Michael and I very much believe in fitness and health, and although we do slack from time to time. We've got some inspiring stories next week of three lovely young ladies that are going to come on and talk about how they lost, we're talking 30, Michael, 40 pounds and what worked for them to maybe give us some inspiration on what we can do to help. But you're going to play us out right and say goodbye, right?
Absolutely. This is Blair's West with Sugar in the Raw from Victoria and Michael. Happy day, everybody. Take care.
What she wants. You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.